Guys, thank you for coming online today on Facebook Live. Introducing Sam Fizzoni and Deborah. I've known him for years now. He's a hospitality consultant. He's been doing it for since I've ever known him, and he's been in it for like 10, 15 years now. How long have you been doing it, man?
Close to 16 years.
16 years. Worked with Neil Perry, with big names, and he is today opening up venues and working with venue owners and doing some really amazing work. And Deborah, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what is your background? Where do you come from?
Born and raised in Melbourne, and work as a chef for probably in excess of 25 years. Then I had a really nasty near fatal car accident and had to find another pathway. Otherwise, I would never have got out. I absolutely loved it. So I went into training and educational development. I develop educational products and work as a consultant for a number of different clients and develop training products and processes and systems, all sorts of different things.
Okay. You might want to get, when you speak, you might be need to be a little bit louder so we can hear you properly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Hold on, we'll speak you out.
Hold on. Okay. All right, guys. So I know it's COVID-19 situation and everybody is not sure where to go from here. A lot of places are still shut and closed, and pretty much they don't have a plan. They don't have a strategy. So where is the hospitality, in your opinion, where is it heading from here?
Well, no, I think it's in a bad spot. It is. Hospitality is definitely in one of the worst shapes it's in itself in. But to be honest, for hospitality owners, it could be a really good time. If you're creative and smart, you can change your business, and do takeaway, do things that you've never done before, try things that you haven't tried yet, and really push it. The takeaway market is actually quite big, and don't think you need Uber Eats to do takeaway, because you really, really don't. You don't need any of those platforms really. You know, focus on your local area, focus on what people want within your local area. And you can be successful. Milk and Wine out in Heathmont, they're doing really, really well. And Leroy's in Newport. These are the two places that I'm looking after at the moment. And they're all doing well. You know, it's not, you know, the best their business could do, but it's getting them through it. And it's allowing them to make some money.
Yeah. And maintain their staff and, you know, maintain their business. I think that business is going to need to be agile like that, Sammy. I think you're absolutely right. They need to think outside their own parameters that they've been functioning in. They need to look at what their business can do in terms of delivering something so that they can maintain their business and their staff. This is the scary thing, is that businesses, I think, the challenge will be to reopen if they've closed, which a lot of them have, to reopen after this and get themselves up and running. Plus, they've got to be COVID compliant, basically.
Okay, so that leads us to the next question. What's the most important steps for restaurant owners to take before they open up their doors?
Sammy, you want me to take that?
Yeah, you go. You do that one.
Okay. The Restaurant and Catering Association Australia have put out a very good little course. It's very cheap. It's $24.95, I think, that helps business owners and staff understand what is required to be compliant. Varies a little bit as each state opens their new phases. And also, there's going to be a lot of fact sheets attached to it, because when it was written, you know, they're drip feeding information, so you need to keep yourself really up to date on what is the requirement now. And of course, we've all heard about social distancing. We all know what that is. The business is going to need to measure themselves, measure their space, put the stickers out so that their customers know where the points are that are acceptable distances for social distancing. They might need to spread their tables out, put some tables away, all that sort of thing. And also, there's a lot of hand sanitizing, a lot of cleaning, and it's not in hospitality. We always talk about cleaning and sanitizing. This is cleaning and disinfecting. So you need to use a specific type of disinfectant after you've cleaned. Staff need to have distances where they can work so that they're separated. And again, there's going to be lots of sanitizing, lots of laundering of uniforms, maybe those plexiglass barriers if you're doing that style of service. Sammy, what else can you add to that?
Well, sorry to interrupt you there. You definitely need to avoid cedar meats situation.
Beg your pardon?
The cedar meats.
Ah, yes. However, I have an insight into that too. I know someone in that business. I believe what I've been told is that one of the employees cut themselves, had to go to the hospital, picked up the infection, COVID infection at the hospital and brought it back to the business. Now, the issue there was clearly they didn't have those parameters in place. They weren't social distancing. Maybe they weren't wearing masks. I don't know if they do or not. Sanitizing your hands with an alcohol-based sanitizer. But the thing is, Mark, this is the confusing thing. All right. As far as we know at this point in time, the information that's available is that, and I've read it again this morning just to make sure before we came on, there's no evidence that COVID today, whatever the 14th of May, there's no evidence at this point in time that COVID is transmitted by eating food. There's not been an incidence. However, I might add that since we've all been COVID crazy, everything's been shut down anyway. So how do they, I would argue that, I think that it's only that we haven't seen it yet. I think we just need to be vigilant. We just need to be very, very vigilant.
Do your part.
Yes, yes.
Do your
Everybody
part.
Needs to.
Mm-hmm. Sam, what can you add to this?
I think Deb has hit the nail on all those, on all the COVID stuff. You know, it's more about, you know, owners just being smart, you know, and not just idling away the hours, because you can actually be doing something than not do something. Sitting there and closing your business, I don't think is the smartest thing to do, especially if you're not a fine dining business. I mean, you see Attica's changed their whole business model. They're selling lasagna. You know, so if Attica can pull their head in and go, hey, you know what, we need to do this.
Yeah.
Everybody should be able to do it. You know, it's about feeding your local community so that you can support them and they can support you, and doing it at a fair dollar as well.
Well, look, from our perspective, because we work with a large amount of clients across the entire country, not just locally. And what we've noticed is, yes, operating a takeaway menu can bring business in, but the beauty of this, if you look at the big picture, we're getting clients having functions booked from the, you know, Christmas onward. They're getting large groups bookings from June onward, saying 10 people bookings, 20 people booking.
Yeah.
So when you raise your hands and say, I'm here, I'm operating, I'm open, you can open up yourself to a lot more business than just the takeaway business. Specifically, if you're a restaurant and people know that you've been doing this for a while, you're building out a new business model that you should maintain later on.
Yeah, definitely. Because that's the best part, is that you're going to be able to keep going with it.
That's right.
You've been running it for 3-4 months, how long?
That's right. That's right. And you bulletproof your business to future situations.
And Mark and Sam, also, don't you think that this is an amazing, I mean, opportunity for businesses to really connect with their local community? I don't think there's ever been such a time
that's right.
Communities are going to want to support their business. They're going to lose them if they don't support them. So I think that I know my mindset is always support your local business because you don't want to lose it. And this might be an opportunity for small business to really reconnect with parts of their local community that they haven't connected with before. You know, people have always been so busy driving home from work and going to restaurants, you know, destination venues. Now I think that a lot of people are thinking, I want to support my local business. I don't want to lose all these fabulous little businesses around me that I don't go to often enough. You know, so I think they're more inclined now to think about things like that. Yeah.
And even think about, you know, from a customer point of view, if you're a restaurant that I used to dine there and the only way that I could buy from you is to dine there. And now all of a sudden you're doing special kits that I can take home. You know, from the customer perspective, this is a limited edition product. You probably never have, you could take it. You know what I'm saying? It's unique. It's different.
That.
It's new. Yeah. So customers, they're buying it because of the novelty. It's brand new from this restaurant that they've always known. It's not like you're buying something from a local pizza shop that's always been there forever. Yeah. You know, so that's what I had a client, you know, the bento box. Yeah. Really, given the bento box, he can buy it and keep it at home. He don't even have to return it.
Yes.
So where would you get that in normal days?
Yeah. Yeah.
Some restaurants out there offering, you know, their cutlery, things that, you know, and they're looking at.
It's just terrible.
A piece of the restaurant to take with them.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Unbelievable.
So going from there, I know what kind of training processes and systems that they need to look at?
Okay. Well, it's almost like you need to reinduct all your staff back into your business and keep the documents, you know, document it, have evidence there for whomever is, you know, I don't know who's doing COVID inspections. I don't think
anybody is.
I don't know, Sammy, you know.
So much. I think, you know, like you were saying before about it, you know, changing so sporadically.
Oh.
Put something in place. I don't think there's anybody actually inspecting it, but I think it will happen.
I think so too. I think maybe they will go, maybe EHOs from your local council will be tasked to do stuff like that. I mean, I don't know if they've got the authority to, I'm not going to go there. It's too complicated. But someone, let's just assume that there is going to be some sort of authority that is going to be checking who it is now. We don't know. But what the business has to do is all those sticker things that we talked about, all the hand sanitizing, as much separation as possible for staff and customers, and even things like delivery and signs on cool room saying, you know, only one person allowed in the cool room at a time and things like that. So it is going to be specific to the individual business as to how they can operate in this environment and attain sort of COVID compliance. But the main thing is that they really do need evidence that they've reinducted their staff into their business in this new way of functioning so that everybody knows what they're supposed to do. It's clear for all the staff, all the delivery people and all the customers. You know, there needs to be a lot of signage about don't come to work if you feel sick. Don't come to work if you've been in contact with someone who has been overseas or been in quarantine or whatever. And there is talk about, and I don't know, again, it's the drip feeding thing. If someone comes into your restaurant and you have dining in your restaurant, they can sit down and have a meal in a cafe or a restaurant, if they don't have the, what am I saying? The tracer, the COVID tracer, there is discussion about maybe they have to leave some sort of information with the restaurant, who they are, where they live, blah, 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 for the tracing mechanism. So, and again, that's not clear at the moment. Those sort of things are being established, so, I think, yeah, per state. So
that's state. Well,
that's enough information.
I think you just got to show too. I think, you know, you're trying to help out. Like, you know, you're trying to stay, to call it COVID safe.
Yeah.
And you've got a record of what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where we're going to be able to help out.
And I know you guys are currently offering a 3-day program to help people establish a COVID-19 operations at the restaurant. How does this program work?
Well, it's an individual sort of thing, you know, an individual business sort of thing. So, we would come in, assess, you know, what you can do in your kitchen, what you can't do in your kitchen, how many people, when you're allowed to sit, depending on what your state's doing, you know, how many people you can sit, and then develop a menu around that, that new business model, I guess, you know, ways that people are going to be able to come in, take away, and still, even if you're sitting 10 people or whatever, be able to sit them, but having the space to be able to do it and doing it in a safe, sanitized way, I guess.
Yeah.
What else do you have to add, Deborah?
I think that, look, again, and I support and agree with everything that Sammy said, it is very individual to each establishment. And depending on their capabilities, it's really, everything's going to hinge on the capabilities of the facility. Okay. So Sammy's expertise, and he's done it very, very successfully, is to look at, and kitchens, of course, in my background too, to look at what that facility is capable of doing in the most cost-effective way for the owner. He can help with menus and all sorts of things, and how that we can redesign what that business can do successfully to maintain a business and keep the money coming in for the owner so that people can remain employed and he maintains his profile or his profile in the community. So there's that part of it. It's sort of like two parts. There's definitely how that can function back of house, what that sort of capability is, and then also looking at
front
of house, how the best way that we can have customer flow and traffic and volume for that business. How can we make that happen and still be very happy, happy, joy with COVID for, you know, however long.
It's, yeah.
And again, you know, that's a big black void, isn't it?
It could be there's a lot months, of, well, we know, it could be there's, another year. There's,
that's right.
Well, you can't, they're saying today, no international travel for 3 years. Bloody hell, what that is. So which means people are going to be spending their money at home, goody, goody gumdrops. But, you know, again, it's all the drip feeding of information and things shifting and then different state.
And I think,
you know,
with all that
everything
being said, Deb, you know, I think the owners need to be flexible about what they're going to be able to do.
Absolutely.
Be like, okay, well, hang on a second. This was my business, but now we're going to try and do this.
Yeah.
And need to really look at what people want in that area.
Yeah. And you've done that very successfully. So,
you know? From our perspective and our experience with people, opening up today and trying to do something that complements your business or activates your business, it's not a distraction. You're not creating a distraction or distracting you away from the core product or from the core of the business.
You're giving your oxygen, another breath of life to your business, because this is over. We're going to be able to keep going with it.
That's right. Don't open up another operation at a separate location. No. Run it from your own brand.
Yeah.
Brand it and call it, this is who we are now. And this is, may or may not be in the future when we're back to normal. You know, it depends if it suits the business. But back when things, yeah. So that's great.
This is survival mode. It's COVID survival mode. It's hanging on to my business and my staff and pushing through this together until they can, if they want to revert to, hey, people might think, oh my gosh, this is a much better business model for me.
Yeah.
You know, things that things might come to the fore they've never thought of before. So
that's right.
Again, you don't have to rely on Uber and Deliveroo and all those guys. You can deliver to your locals. You guys have probably got, most places, I would think, have still got their staff on the JobKeeper and all that kind of stuff. Use them now, pay their petrol and let them deliver.
That's right. That's right.
Who are you serving at the moment, especially in Victoria?
That's right.
Look, that deal's come there.
I personally think there's a massive value in this program. There's a lot of restaurant owners need guidance. They need steps to take. They need to know what to do, how to go about it, and they want to do it safely. I believe your program will provide massive value for a lot of business owners. So if somebody is interested and want to get in touch with you guys, how do they get in touch?
Well, you can either hit me up on my. Most people hit me up on my Instagram, which is just my name, at Sam Pinzoni, or you can visit my website, which is www.sampinzoni.com, and you can get in contact me with on my email there as well. There's no stupid questions. You can ask whatever you need to ask.
That's right. What about you, Deborah?
Yeah, no, go through Sam because...
Yeah.
I can't get down to Melbourne for a little while. I'm stuck up in far north Queensland at the moment. So as soon as I can get a flight, which is going to be very ugly in terms of cost, I'll be down working with him.
Okay, wonderful.
No, I can't wait.
Anything else you'd like to add before we wrap it up?
Yeah, one thing we didn't touch on is you're going to have to, you know, you're going to need to get your social media going. It is definitely something. It is very, very important
in
these COVID times. You really, really need to.
Yeah.
Well,
you got to, you know,
yeah,
invest in somebody for that.
Yeah.
Well, the
I agree.
The thing is, it's great to open up and come in with concepts and be safe and everything. Nobody, there's just no eyeballs or traffic looking at this. What's the point?
Yeah.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right.
That's super important. And look, I just want to say one thing. My heart absolutely bleeds for these guys. People with small businesses are really, really hurting. And I think that myself as a community member, and I know other people, and Sammy's seen it, communities will get behind you. You just need to get out there. And I agree with you, Sam and Mark, social media is, you've got to get it out there and let them know what you're doing.
You also need to give a little to get a little as well from your community, you know. Not everybody's in a position where they can just go out and start buying takeaways.
Right.
No, but, you know, if you can, an initiative that we started at Milk and Wine is called Pay It Forward. You can call it whatever you want, and you give them a meal for free. And then, you know, maybe when you open up normally again and they're back on their feet, they'll come back and, you know, they'll repay you by having a coffee or something like that. People always remember that you help them in time to aid.
That's right.
You know, try to be as least selfish as you can during these times.
That's right. Well said, mate.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Guys, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, Mark. Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you very much.
And then we'll be in touch.
Okay. Ciao. Ciao.